Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Bobby Wood Jr., man. Somebody that I think if the United States had a Olympic team and the baseball was allowed, well, he's probably hitting leadoff or second in that United States lineup if we want to talk about Bobby Wood doing that.
But that's where the game in baseball in 4 years has an opportunity to really do something. Like, you're supposed to learn from others' mistakes. And look, yeah. I'm a history buff, and I love history. I know history, what happened in the past, doesn't tell the story of what's going to happen in the future. But there are ways to learn from history. And right now, I think Major League Baseball has to be taking notes about 2028 in Los Angeles and going, okay,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive.
It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The WNBA screwed up by not having Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese representing America on the United States women's basketball team. Like, they screwed up in a big way. It's a chance to grow the game. And I think if you're baseball right now, you're learning from that mistake and you're saying, you know what, in 2028, we are going to shut baseball down for a couple of weeks. We are going to allow our players to go on the international stage, and we are going to allow them to grow that game and make a name for themselves. And I would imagine that Bobby Witt Jr. in 4 years, Dusty, is probably the captain and the lead player on the United States baseball team, right? I mean, as long as we continue where we are right now, Bobby Witt Jr., Gunnar Henderson, Aaron Judge, like, I look at those three guys right now as kind of the three that would be the stars of the American baseball team. But I got to think in 4 years from now, it's going to be led by Bobby Witt Jr. coming off a World Series championship and MVP. And now he gets the opportunity to go win gold on the Olympic stage and lead Team USA. He's going to be known as Captain America in 4 years out in Los Angeles. And I think that's when the world is truly going to fall in love with Bobby Witt Jr.
And I think it's crazy because the big things that came out of last night's grand slam that he hit, in case you missed it, if you were asleep, like one of the texters said, they went to bed at 5-2. That's on you.
Heard from a friend of mine who went to bed after Benintendi's home run, woke up at 1 a.m., watched the condensed game.
I got to see it. Bobby Witt Jr., the things that are trending with him on X is two best athletes in their sports are in the same city. Oh, right. By the way, they also have Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I thought that into perspective, too.
I thought that was kind of crazy as well. And then the other thing that was kind of interesting is that you talk about, you know, being the leader. Maybe they do this with every sport. It seems like when it comes to the United States, the Olympics, maybe he gets coined Captain America.
Right.
There was also audio and a thing that J.J. Piccolo had said earlier in the week, Royals general manager, that he does see in the foreseeable future the C going from Sal's jersey to Bobby Witt's jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that can't happen until Sal has called it quits.
Of course.
Which we would say probably cap it at, what, 2-3 years? If I gave you 2.5 years, you're taking the over-under on Sal?
I'm taking the over on that. Like, yeah. I don't see any quit in
the
Sal.
The ageless wonder.
He's built too good to not continue to play baseball, right? But, like, the guy doesn't break down.
Yeah. And so the question that I have for you two when it comes to this, you don't know that I'm about to ask you this, is what do you think would be a cooler moment for Bobby and Sal? Would it be more cool or cooler for Sal after this year if they, let's say, they get into the playoffs, they win their wild card round, they get to the divisional round and they lose, whatever, it's a playoff run. And at the end of the year, Salvador Perez does, you know, rips the C off, hypothetically, I mean, just saying, like, whatever, and says, this is yours.
Right.
You're the captain now. Or would you like to see Sal ride it out, and then when he leaves, he's like, I stepped down as a captain of this team and retire from baseball. Bobby is now the captain of this team. Like,
no,
what do you think is a cooler moment?
Option A, because I've been thinking about option A. Like,
okay.
Like, because I could see Salvi doing something like that, right? Like, as much as this organization means to him and being the captain means a lot to him, he's probably the only guy that I could see that we've ever seen in Kansas City sports taking that C off his chest, other than like maybe Mike Sweeney, and handing it to Bobby Witt Jr. saying, man, you're the captain now.
Right.
I'm the veteran presence on this team. I've been around forever and a day, but you're the captain, Bobby. You're the leader of this team. Like, how cool would that be, too? Like, for Salvador Perez, that may be looked at from a fan's perspective as his greatest moment, doing something like that, because everybody would have an opportunity to experience it. It wasn't a game or a play where some people were, others weren't. You saw it, maybe you didn't. This would be one of those moments that you would just relive and say, that was the coolest thing ever when Salvador Perez did something like that. So I would love him to do something
like
that.
And I think it's interesting, too, when you think about that, because it is one of those very unselfish acts that we've consistently seen Salvador Perez like. And it seems that he's sort of shown ways that he's passed the baton to Bobby Witt Jr. Like, I'm not saying that it's Bobby's locker room, but Vern said this, like, with the Hispanic people, Salvador Perez leader, with the English-speaking players, Bobby Witt Jr. seems to be the leader. It was that way with Gordon and Sal. It was that way with Hosmer and Sal.
Hosmer was the ultimate blend guy.
Because he could, he was bilingual.
Yeah, Hosmer was an unbelievable leader.
Yeah, and it shows with his podcast. You see all the guys that he's able to get on, which it looks like it's heavy Royals all of a sudden. It's been like J.J. Moose, Mike Sweeney, George Brett, which those are all good players
to have, right?
To me, because I was thinking about this when I saw that tweet and I watched the game last night, I was like, how cool would it be to see like a passing of the sword? Because I'm a sci-fi nerd and Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon, all that sort of stuff. And there's moments where like a guy knows like it ain't me anymore. It's this person. And here's the C, or here's, you know, like I
the
get,
interesting thing though is it is kind of still him though. It's not like he's fallen off.
I mean, like Sal's still the leader. He's still the face of this franchise. He's currently the second best Royal in franchise history.
Yeah.
But we can all agree that there's a chance Bobby could leapfrog him. And then we might have a discussion one day where it's like, is it Brett or is it Bobby?
Yeah.
And I think that's a fair assessment. Now let's have some more years, right?
Brett did it
for three decades, right? So
the only person in the history of baseball to win a batting title in three different decades. That's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. And still be cool considering you could crap your pants and still play baseball.
Right,
so,
exactly.
I mean, like, I don't know how many people you get away with that because consider me Miles Davis. Uh-huh. But the thing that's great about seeing that sort of scenario and knowing what's going on is that there's one key stat. You paid Bobby in his 20s. So you got your player. We've never seen that in Kansas City before. Like a superstar, like maybe never seen this in baseball. I mean, I know that there's players that have been this great, but he's projected numbers that no one's ever done with his projected finishing totals. We read those earlier. We'll bring those back a little bit later. But this is also something where it's kind of one of those cool moments because what do we always see in sports? Like, when is Brady going to pass the baton to Mahomes?
Patrick, yeah.
When is Peyton going to put, you know, it's never, hardly ever. When is
has
same
Jordan
teammate,
ever passed the torch to LeBron? He's not letting that thing go.
Nah,
over,
Jordan's
right?
got it. Burns bright in his hand and always will.
It will always will. Yeah.
And the thing with Bobby and Sal is that neither one are ego-driven, self-absorbed guys. Both guys, like even in the interview last night with Bobby Witt Jr., the only time he was really ever broken with Joel at the end of the game was he was like, yeah, I just don't really like the cold, but other than that, it's fine. Like, talking about the splash, but everything else was, yeah, you know, guys got on before me, we knocked runs in. When you see stuff like that, you see attitude and demeanor and all those sort of things. That is the definition of a captain of a team, and he's in his 20s, and we all know what the future is for the next 6-7 years. Bobby Witt Jr.'s team, and this team plays better because of him and how he is and who he is, and you're seeing that reflecting games like last night.
I think it would be cool if Salvi did offer that captainship to Bobby Witt Jr. I'm not saying he has to, and I'm not asking him to do that, but if he did it, it would be one of those cool moments, and I don't think you do it at this moment in time. Let's see how this season plays out, right? Mm-hmm. Let's see where we are at the end. Let's see how far they go in the postseason. Let's see what next year's looking like, and maybe Salvi does get to that point where he does say, it is time, man, for the future to arrive here in Kansas City, and I've been waiting for this moment to pass this off to the next generation, and here you are, and you know, we do some sort of ceremony like that where Salvi does give that captain to Bobby Witt Jr., and I think fans would love it. I think it would be outstanding, and I think Bobby's on his way to earning, obviously, that captain thing, but this is still, at the end of the day, the team that, you know, is going to follow Salvador Perez. He's the leader. He's been there. He's seen all this before. He's been through all this before. He's got the war stories, if you will, of everything that gone on, and he's still a very, very productive baseball player right now, closing in on a Hall of Fame career, chasing, you know, what, 30-some home runs to get himself into the Hall of Fame with 300 home runs, so he's still got a lot to play for. I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. I just see Bobby Witt getting better and better and better, and sometimes it's okay to go out there and have to earn that captainship and not get it right away and say, okay, you put in a couple of good years, you've had some good success in baseball, I'm getting ready to retire. The captainship is now all yours.
Right. And I think that's the, you know, I'm not saying that maybe this year he gets it, but like, let's say they get into the playoffs and then next year starts and it's like, yeah, I enjoyed my years, the captain, or my 2 years as the captain. Clearly the captain of this ship is number seven. He plays shortstop because he doesn't miss a game. Like all the things that you would think that like a Captain America guy is, or a sports player is, Bobby Witt Jr. And he just does all that. The way he runs the bases, the way he plays defense, like the two plays he made last night, equally were about as awesome as the Grand Slam. Like,
absolutely.
You put those two defensive plays together, like even like Q at the end of the game, and we can talk to him tomorrow about it. Like, when you're talking about what he did, how he's like, you don't see shortstops get up and stop, plant, and make that play.
It was insane.
He goes, almost always they slip. And he did two different plays, and then MacArthur had the comeback play that was decent himself.
Yeah.
But again, like, they hit the ball hard to your best player, and he rest assured a guy who was on rocky water in MacArthur.
He saved MacArthur's bacon last night, man, on a couple of different occasions in that game. But you mentioned him running the bases, and I'm watching Bobby last night at second base, and I'm thinking to myself, watching this guy on the bases is about as exciting as watching Mahomes run the offense for the Chiefs, because you just don't know what's going to happen, but you know something good is about to happen. And it gives you that anticipation. When he gets on, you aren't moving away from that TV until that inning's over, because you have a feeling he's going to steal a base or two. He's going to find a way to score a run. He's going to manufacture something. He's going to screw the pitcher up. Like, watching Bobby Witt on the base pass is as enjoyable as watching Mahomes run the offense, because the end result is, it more often than not, going to be something that you really enjoy and something that's really special. He's fantastic on the base pass.
It's fun. It's like butter. Coming up on the other side, if the Bobby Witt Jr. being the captain didn't get you there, how about a guy that everybody used to hate saying stuff that makes you love to hear it? Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. It's Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. Back here on Fesco in the Morning.
Love
damn glad
the Kelly
to have
Clarkson
you.
This morning. You're really rocking it, Mac.
Yep. I don't think this is Kelly Clarkson. Hmm.
Dusty, shh, don't. Just let him.
We'll get back into the Royals here in a little bit, because that is the hottest topic in the city right now, because if you stayed up and watched it, I wish at times I could be a fly on the wall at my dad's house, because he's that guy. Very critical when it goes bad, very happy when it goes well.
So he's a normal fan.
Yes, and my sister texted me last night and said, our dad has to be waking the neighborhood. Because I know at one point when it was 5-2, and he's a good dude, doesn't cuss a whole lot, but I know when it was 5-2 and Zerpo kind of exploded a little bit.
Yeah.
I know there were some words that you say when you stub your toe. And then all of a sudden...
Because I think we were all having that same thought when Zerpa was blowing it out there yesterday. Like, another reliever can't get the job done?
Oh, I tweeted and said I might get out the gut rot whiskey.
Yeah.
And I can't do that these days because I had to get up early for this show again today. Fesco in the
and
Morning.
You don't want gut rot whiskey. Treat yourself to something better.
You do when it's going sour like that did last
night. GRW, huh?
Mm-hmm. Get the old crow out. That's what I do when it gets rough.
You ever get the nicotine flavored vodka and slam that? That's always a good pull.
No, I'll just go get nicotine.
Yeah.
Stick a Zen in my lip or something.
Ugh.
So it's always fun to talk Royals, but it's also always fun to talk about formal foes and hear how they all of a sudden go back and live in hindsight where they say, well, I wish I'd have done this or wish I did this differently. Mm-hmm. Nobody better than John Elway to regret things or to see him hand a Super Bowl trophy to Clark Hunt, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and be like, oh, here you go. Here's another one in the division that I used to run, the team that I used to beat. Well, not anymore, John. Well, John
Could
Elway,
they not find a Raider to do that? Like, why'd they roll out Elway still for that Super Bowl? That thing was in Las Vegas. They should have had a Raider present it to the Chiefs.
I don't know. But either way, they couldn't have found a better person to have to hand a trophy to the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe next year they'll have Sirianni do it. But John Elway, man, you love to hear him live with regrets, not even one letter.
Did you not get Josh Allen? I feel like he is exactly your type.
I know, he is. And believe me, last year I played with him, and I'm wondering how long is it going to take him to realize that I passed on him and took Bradley and Chubb instead?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it took him 2.5 holes to bring it up. And I loved him, right?
Yeah.
It just, didn't
work out.
He was your
type.
That's the one. My type. Yeah. And you're right. That was probably my biggest mistake of my GM days was not taking Josh.
And that's why you're not a GM anymore, because you took Bradley Chubb over Josh Allen.
Right.
When you didn't have a quarterback. When you were watching a team in your division who took a quarterback 10th overall the year prior, and now they've been to 6 straight AFC championship games.
And you still haven't found a quarterback. They really haven't found a quarterback, obviously, since Peyton left. And in between John and Peyton, they really didn't find themselves a quarterback. And, you know, it's easy to look back now and say, hindsight being 2020, did you make a mistake? And the answer is obvious. Yeah, you made a big mistake there by not taking Josh Allen. They'd be a competitive team right now if they had Josh Allen. I wonder who would be the head coach in Denver right now if Josh Allen was the quarterback. Would it still be Vic Fangio at that point in time, he says, with a question?
I think it was. Yeah, I mean, I think it
would have been 2018.
Was Vic Fangio? Because I know he was the coach during COVID, so who was the coach right before Vic Fangio? Oh, it was the guy that was having the time of his life that lasted for one day.
Del Rio?
Maybe Jack Del Rio. No, he was the defensive coordinator out there. Anyway, they probably wouldn't have Sean Payton right now. Vance Joseph, okay.
And he had Bill Musgrave, Casey's dad.
Yeah.
And Joe Woods.
Jerome's father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the coach that they went 6-10.
6-10 that year. Yep. What year was that? 2018?
2018. I'm trying to think who their quarterback was. Case Keenum.
Of course. the great Case Keenum, right? The great Case Keenum.
Yep.
So I like the fact that John Elway comes out and admits, hey, you know what? I screwed that one up. I made a major mistake. Yeah. I don't think Bronco fans want to hear that, right? They want to go, why didn't you draft a quarterback? You had Case Keenum. Why weren't we drafting a quarterback? But you hear that as like his biggest mistake. And then you start thinking about like the nitpicking that goes on with Brett Veach taking Breland Speaks.
Right.
There are people who still complain
sure.
about that trade.
Was I considered one of them yesterday?
Were you complaining about it yesterday?
I wasn't complaining. We were talking about misses as a GM.
Yeah, but I mean, but it goes to show you, like, Brett Veach really doesn't have any misses as the general manager. Now, he'll probably tell you, yeah, the Breland Speaks one, and maybe taking McColl over DK Metcalf, but at mm-hmm. the timing and everything that was going on with Tyreek, they needed that same type of player, so it made sense at the time. But I mean, like, if we're trying to figure out what Brett Veach's biggest mistake is, and we all come back to Breland Speaks,
mm-hmm.
I mean, just sit back, put your feet up, you know, take a drag off your dart and say it's a beautiful day, because the biggest mistake is a nondescript linebacker that Brett Veach took instead of somebody else, where John Elway's sitting back going, damn, I could have had Josh Allen and I screwed that one up. Imagine living with that regret for the rest of your life. Brett Veach has got to live with, he drafted Breland Speaks. He's going to be just fine.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because somebody says, from Elway, that he got to hand it out because he was the MVP of the Super Bowl 25 years prior.
Okay.
And then someone also has a good theory. They thought San Francisco was going to win, so they wanted Elway to give it to Lynch.
That's a great conspiracy Ooh. Theory, and I'm 100% in on that.
Yeah,
I love
you're a big no, scripted guy.
I am in on that. Yeah, 100%.
But, I mean, I just thought it was great because after you watch that Super Bowl victory and you're with all your buddies and everybody's celebrating, you're like, what's next? And all of a sudden you see John Elway walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you're screwed.
John Elway's passing off the trophy to the Chiefs.
The previous year before they drafted Josh Allen is that they didn't need proof to get Josh Allen. Their three quarterbacks were Trevor Siemian,
yep.
Brock Osweiler, and Paxton Lynch.
Well, why would you draft Josh Allen?
Why would
that
you
point?
Be like, you know what we need? Bradley Chubb.
Bradley Chubb.
There's a reason why you're still a used car salesman
right.
and not a GM of a franchise that you built.
Right.
Because you had Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, and Trevor Siemian.
Siemian. Yeah.
And you decided that you would just Case Keenum it instead of Josh Allen.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you?
I don't know, but it's crazy when you go pay for Peyton Manning to give you 2 to 3 years, got him to 2 Super Bowls, 1-1, got your job. But then this is where we can tie in Brett Veach.
Right.
Brett Veach is always a season, or you could say 2 steps ahead.
Mm-hmm.
The Denver Broncos didn't treat that franchise like they knew that Peyton Manning's arm could potentially fall off.
Right.
Which it did.
Mm-hmm. His neck.
Well, it was also his arm, because I remember watching preseason, he couldn't throw the ball 15 yards.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they told themselves, well, at least we have a good defense. And I'm pretty sure at that point that year, they had not Paxton Lynch, they had Brock Osweiler starting.
Well, yeah, because the Chiefs knocked Peyton Manning out in that game that when we finally got over the hump in Denver, beat Peyton
yeah.
Manning. They won the Super Bowl that year, but that's when the Chiefs destroyed Peyton Manning and made him look like, oh, my God, it's time to hang it up.
And they basically were just like, keep your shoulder attached to your body. We'll ride this defense to the playoffs. And once the playoffs start, we'll just get first downs and control ball possession. And they end up winning the Super Bowl that year.
Sure.
Whatever. But again, that was also a terrible showing from Cam Newton, the MVP of the league that year. And mm-hmm. the Carolina Panthers went 15-1. He just completely collapsed in the
right.
Super Bowl that year because Von
Miller
was.
Cam's still wondering why he's not playing.
Right. And yeah. And it's just, I don't know.
Did you see your last year in New England, sir?
Gosh.
Yeah, you know.
Talk about can't throw.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
But he could take on like 5 pedestrians at a speech one time. I saw that over the summer. He just absolutely
That was
nuts.
Last summer where that he started beating up kids.
yeah, at a camp
right?
football
a camp.
Camp.
Football camp. And like his hat didn't fall off.
No, he just took care of business.
Yeah.
People forgot, oh, that's Cam Newton.
Right.
Never mind. He's like 6'7" and 250 pounds.
He
I forget
beat
that.
My ass.
It's like he might be out of the NFL, but he's still like 35.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or however old he is, 38,
That was 39. So funny. That was about a year ago. That,
yeah.
that mob angry. Mob and Cam
Crazy.
Just fighting him with his hat.
Which is weird that people have, you know, weird aggression towards people. But also, I found this a little strange. Matt Hollis.
Who?
Buffalo Bills wide receiver. Got a bit of a funky vibe here.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't wear shoes, like ever, unless he has to wear cleats because he's forced to.
I think shoes are a tool.
Okay.
And people have made them a part of their body. Like, I wouldn't walk around with a hammer just because I might need a hammer sometimes.
Now, he does wear cleats because he has to, but he calls them foot prisons.
Mac Hollins, I apologize. Foot prisons.
Uh-huh.
Would you go without shoes if you could?
Yeah.
You're just walking your Fesco walk, going shirtless and shoeless?
Yeah.
Did it in high school for some time.
You did?
Yeah, it was kind of my thing.
You didn't wear shoes to high school?
Yeah. I had it in my backpack in case I got caught. But usually I didn't. Usually teachers didn't care.
Did you wear socks?
Nope.
Just bare feet?
Yep.
How'd you go into, like, Quick Trip?
No such thing in Nashville.
Well, you very had sad. Something similar. A Sheets, whatever it was called down there.
Come and Go?
Yeah, just...
Cumberland Farms? Like, what did you... You had something
pump,
like
pump
that.
Pump my gas outside or
I
just
don't
walk
think they
in
have signs anymore to say no, no shoes, no shirts, no yeah, service.
They don't, really. No. Not anymore. You can go into
I've
any
not
restaurant.
Seen, I could be wrong, but I have not seen one.
You could go into any... Like when people take their socks and shoes off on a plane, I think it's disgusting.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah.
You know?
That's
but,
fair.
Like,
Drew Nixon told me he mows his yard sometimes without shoes.
That's not safe. Ooh, what if you slip safe. On the graph, you slide under the blade, you slice your foot off?
When I was graph. In, when I was in my barefoot stage, I actually had a guy stop me from mowing the lawn and say, hey, my brother really hurt himself by mowing the lawn bare feet. Don't do that. I was like, all right,
look
fine.
Like I'll a damn one. Deion Sanders foot if you don't be careful. He also says there's something about small cats.
Small cats will steal your soul. Never have them around. If it's a house cat, that'll steal your soul.
I agree.
So far, you might be Mac Hollins.
Yes,
I hate cats.
Hate shoes. You think
small cats will steal your soul. Never have them around. Yeah. If it's a house cat, that'll steal your soul.
Cats are the worst. I'm allergic to them. We used to have wild cats in the yard. That's when Hacksaw had to come over and get the cat, and it crawled up the front of the van and stayed inside the engine block for days.
I tell myself I don't like cats, but my dad and my stepmother, they have, I believe, four, and I love them all.
You do?
Yeah, there's this one called Dominic. He's like a little, like, Italian. We call him Dom.
Does he have an accent?
He does, dude. Yeah. Yeah. He stole my soul and talks to me.
Right.
Also, okay, so Matt Collins, this is a story that came out yesterday. Pretty good stuff. Doesn't wear shoes, calls them foot prisons.
Right.
Doesn't like small cats because they eat your soul.
That's right.
Surely that's it.
Like, what happened that people said you got to start using utensils? Your hands will help you digest because your body knows that it's coming. Your hands will get the temperature of the food so you can better understand what it's going to be before it goes in your mouth so you don't burn your tongue or your lips. And you're more cognizant of washing your hands. People are like, it's dirty. No, it's not, because I know I'm about to eat with my hands, so I got to wash them. A lot of y'all don't wash your hands out the bathroom, let alone that went before you eat.
I still can't believe that I leave public restrooms and there are people who don't wash their hands still. We lived through that pandemic back in 2020, right?
I call them out.
Wash your damn hands. It's disgusting, right? It's gross when you don't wash your hands coming out of the bathroom. Now, about his utensil comment, I will not use a three-prong fork. I made that abundantly clear. That three-prong fork comes out at a restaurant, I'm asking for a plastic one or I'm leaving.
I just don't ever want to watch somebody try to eat mashed potatoes without a spoon.
Well, that's a little much.
Yeah. He's not using utensils. Not using shoes. Hates small cats. Not sure what they did to anybody, but he doesn't like them.
So,
soul catchers.
Like the whole not wearing of the shoes thing and eating with your hands. How do you function in a normal society being that guy?
I don't think you do.
Does this guy
I
have
think,
a girlfriend?
No. Guaranteed.
Yeah, let me look it up.
If he thinks check. Small cats steal your soul.
Well, yeah.
I'm like you, though. The whole washing the hand. I call people out.
It's disgusting. You're actually a slob.
I did the exit room thing one time. I'll never do it again. Too much anxiety.
Exit room.
Where you have to, like, get out of the room.
Oh,
and you
the
have
escape
all these,
room?
Yeah, brutal.
Oh, ew.
I had terrible anxiety, too. Before we did it, though, this guy was in the bathroom. This is, like, coming straight out of the pandemic.
Right.
I mean, we're talking, like, late 2020. Like, everything's okay. You can go in small groups.
Right.
This guy goes to the bathroom, and we get ready to take the picture after we're done. And they're over there in this group. And I said, that guy didn't wash his hands.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, wait, what? And we're getting there, like, everybody smile. And everyone's like, and then after the picture's taken, like, dude, what are you doing? I was like, that guy over there didn't wash his hands. He's like, I couldn't get the towels out. I was like,
it doesn't stop you from washing your dry on your jeans.
Wash your hands. But when you hear that audio, do you guys do anything that maybe other people might think is weird? Like, do you have, like, something that in your house, like, somebody would have come in and be like, all your chips are facing one way? And I can help you out here. My closet is OCD centric.
Is it really?
I'm dead serious. So I have all, like, my work polos on one. It starts on the right. So, like, all the 6'10 polos are there. Then that leads into, like, nice shirts. That then leads into slacks, pants, jeans. That then leads into polos, all color coordinated. Then leads to regular just t-shirts, color coordinated. Long sleeve shirts into sweatshirts. And then the back are, like, the shirts I can't get rid of. So like, I have like a 2009 Zach Greinke Cy Young shirt that looks like a halter top, but I won't get rid of
it. You won't get rid of it. Yeah.
And that's what I, that's one of my weird things. And then on the floor, the shoes are all in a correct way, all nicely put down there. So like, it's somebody's first thing to do when they came to my house, open my closet, they'd be like, okay, this guy's a little strange, but everything else is fine. Like, normal room, I also make my bed every morning.
You do?
Every
morning.
Wow. Every single morning.
I told Jen, I said, you got to start making the bed every morning. I want a nice inviting boudoir in which to arrive home in after a tough day at work.
Yeah.
And she looks at me and she goes, you can make it too. I go, actually, I can't.
Really?
She's in it when I leave.
It's 3:30. Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? Wrap her up in the bed and leave her there?
No.
No, so she can make the bed, right? Like I said, just make the bed, just pull it up, make it nice,
every
make
morning,
it welcoming,
military style. You sheets do. Get tucked. I'm really? Dead serious, dude. Wow. I could take a picture of it every morning if you wanted to. Tucked in sheets, pillows there. The day pillows there. Blanket on the top gets folded, put in the corner. I'm just, you know, you wouldn't think so with a guy getting called the dirty werewolf in the past.
Yeah,
but I'm dead serious, man. The bed gets made every day. And the diffuser gets hit in the morning, so the room gets the lavender
smell. Diffuser. It's lavender. Diffuser. It's very nice.
So maybe that's a weird thing, too, that I have. But.
Yeah, no, it helps you sleep. I guess, I don't know that it's weird, but I walk around my house every day and pull weeds.
That's fair. That's a little OCD.
It is, but if you don't, like, we had an oak tree, and
don't
it's dropped
Roundup,
so
many.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
And it's dropped so many acorns, so I'm constantly pulling out.
Oh, you ever stepped on one barefoot?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's the worst.
Oh, dude, but gosh. I don't know how long these things have been buried, and they're starting to sprout, so right. I'm pulling, like, baby oaks out every day. And if you don't get them right away, those roots take hold really fast. Yeah. And so then you're out there, you know, with a shovel and a hoe and all this kind of stuff, and you're trying to get these damn trees up. So I try to walk around every day and pull all the weeds and do all that kind of stuff, even though my lawn looks terrible. But I just, I can't fathom having these trees that are growing. And so if I go over to somebody's house and I see like a weed or a tree, I want to go over there and just pull that thing out.
I used to be that way when I get sunburnt. I wear sunscreen now because of skin cancer fear.
Yeah, sure.
And I would just sit there and like try to pull the longest skin off my arm.
Oh.
It's a salty one. Mac, you got any weird trades before we get into the Madden rankings?
I'm completely normal.
Okay.
Yeah, you didn't wear shoes.
Somebody in the text line says, Dusty, I have CDO, which is OCD, but in alphabetical order the way it's supposed to be. Well done. Making bed daily is always a great start to today.
True Green Thumb. Yeah.
Yep. Dusty's military material. I'm the same way, but I'm a Marine. Salute to your service. Yeah. I'm not.
You're not, no.
Yeah. I'm just a weirdo that every morning has to make his bed.
From the 913, how does that guy eat ice cream? It's a good question. I had that same question with mashed potatoes. Maybe you just put it on a cone and you're a cone only guy?
Dude, yeah, chicken Alfredo at a restaurant. Yeah, what's he doing?
Yeah, how's he eating spaghetti?
Yeah, exactly. What's he doing?
You're rolling out to Jasper's and you order spaghetti and meatballs. What are you doing? Scooping that with your hands?
Maybe his feet.
Not a chance.
How's he? Like, there's no way, right? And I mean, there's way this guy has a girlfriend if he's eating like this.
I looked it up. I did not find anything.
Yeah. Shocker. Imagine when they go out to eat and she knows his tactics and he's like, I'll do the meatloaf and the gravy of choice. Brown, extra. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute, hold on. You're going to... Yeah.
Unless you use the bread as a means to scoop the meat and put it in your mouth.
Oof. I guess that's one way to do it.
You can have a meatball sandwich or a meatloaf sandwich or something like that. Meatloaf sandwich.
I make my bed every morning too. My closet along with shoes are also organized. Salute Dusty. See, we're all in this family together. I needed that. That makes me feel better. I would just literally look at my room and I'd be like, am I a sick, you know what? Like, yeah. I'm dead serious, dude. Like, I look at my closet one day and I'm like, okay.
I had my closet organized one time. I'm like, I'm going to keep it this way.
Yeah.
You think it lasted?
No.
No.
Not
a chance.
Not at all. Madden rankings have come out. It's fun to guess these. Like, I think this is
real quick, Dusty, just because we're talking about the Bills, they did just announce they signed veteran safety Kareem Jackson to a 1-year contract.
Well, there he is. That's the difference right
there.
There
it is. Super Bowl coming their way.
Yep, they've got it.
We know the highest rated player on the Chiefs will be Mahomes. He'll be a 99.
Mm-hmm.
Any other quarterback get a 99?
No.
Can't be, right? He's got to be the one of his own. Yeah. Nobody else.
Unless Aaron Rodgers did based on last year's performance and all.
I bet he's a 94, though. I bet he's up there. I bet he's 92 or 93.
And if he's not up there, you know he's writing a letter right now. Like, he's the ultimate male Karen. He's calling EA Sports complaining about his rating.
Right. So there's 799 totals on Madden. Tyreek Hill's a 99 wide receiver.
Which is
That's legit. One.
Like, if he wasn't 99, you'd have right. to be thinking to yourself, why? Because L'Jarius Sneed throat punched him?
You'd think that Justin Jefferson would be one, but Tyreek Hill is the only overall 99-ranked wide receiver. I know some people don't care, but we always look at players and think, okay, what are their rankings in real life? Mahomes is the other one.
Well, hang on. Let's go back to that Justin Jefferson one for a second. Let's have a real quick conversation mm-hmm. about that. Tyreek Hill, I will say, is better than Justin Jefferson because of that speed mm-hmm. that he, you know, has that nobody else can match right now, and that'll obviously be on the decline. I think Justin Jefferson gets knocked because he missed games after he played the Chiefs. And maybe that knocks him down a peg a little bit. I don't know. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah, he did miss like 6 weeks, I guess. That's fair. Yeah, he's the best receiver.
Yeah.
But yeah, Justin Jefferson, to give you the receivers. Justin Jefferson, 98. CeeDee Lamb, 96. A.J. Brown, 95. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 95. Mahomes is the other 99. Tyreek Hill's one. So there's, what, five other 99s we have to think of? Who would be the 99s? You think Miles Garrett?
Miles
Garrett's a good one.
Okay, so there's one.
Oh, CMC.
McCaffrey's a 99 for sure.
Yeah.
Is there a defensive player that we're not thinking of?
Micah Parsons.
You think he's 99?
Yeah, TJ Watt.
TJ Watt could be a 99.
A lot of
Chris
games.
Jones.
I don't think Chris Jones would be a 99. He'll probably be a 95, though, which is impressive.
That's his number in real life.
Yep. Kelsey?
Is there a lineman? No. Like a Trent Williams? Is he a 99? I think he was last year.
So he could be one, but his Super Bowl, he was about a 79.
I know, that's the thing.
Burrow, no. Jamar Chase, no.
No, we already said the receivers. I would assume, is Bosa one? The text line chimes in.
No.
Is he a 99? But
he's hurt all the time,
so there's
too.
Seven total. We have Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes, Miles Garrett, Micah Parsons. Is a corner? Is Sauce Gardner a 99? Is anybody up there?
I don't think Sauce is 99.
Hang on a second.
We got three.
Justin Tucker?
Kicker? I would think Butker would be a higher rated kicker than Tucker.
I don't know. Tucker's got this, like, he's the best and they don't care what anybody else does type of vibe.
CMC was one. Is Dan Kilgore going to play today?
Yeah, he could be one, yeah.
I don't know. 913-586-7610. Other 99 ranks when it comes to the Madden video game, which I think nowadays in Madden, I think the only thing we really care about is obviously rankings.
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
Thanks, Coach. What mm-hmm. a dynamite question to ask. What a absolute.
Have you heard the whole question?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
For the listener at home, have they heard the whole question?
I hope they enjoy that voice because they are hanging it up at the end of the year.
Here they are.
Congratulations on the new contract. Not that it didn't before, but it certainly looks like you're going to be able to finish your career here. What does that mean to you, being where you are in your career now? And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
Thanks, Adam. Fesco of the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Bobby Witt Jr. opened up a can of worms. Could you open up a can of something?
I think he opened a can of whoop-ass.
Okay. Well, if you could throw something in a food fight, what would it be? 913-586-7610. Mac Murray, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens again. If you were to have a food fight item, what would it be? 913-586-7610. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning. It's my last day. Shout out Rich Paul here. He got a good one. Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, and some other guy. Somebody says, your last day. Well, when you screw up the tees, you see yourself out.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. That's what Bob told me.
Mm-hmm.
913-586-7610. A little bit of fun with you all. Talking about food fights.
Yeah, my kids had one last night.
Yeah, but you said with what?
Yeah, well, this was like, I read an article yesterday about like a, there's like a place in Spain every year that has like a tomato fight, right? Where people go and throw tomatoes.
Are they like ripe? Are they like a little bit weathered?
Well, you have to get a little bit weathered. Probably a little bit like
they're a little softer.
Juicier, softer, right? You don't want a hard tomato, right?
No.
You want like more of a rotten tomato, right?
Bruise people.
Yeah, right? You're trying to have it explode in their face.
Yeah.
Right? And so I saw the story yesterday and I sent it to you guys. I'm like, let's have an ultimate food fight draft tomorrow. And then, you know, Max, like, what are we doing steak style? How are we doing this? I'm like, dude, just call it as we go. We're not going to overthink this food fight draft, right?
Didn't wear shoes to school.
Right. No, exactly. And then we're sitting there last night watching the Olympics and the baseball and whatnot. My kids are actually downstairs on the couch, which is a win for all of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they start fighting
until
my youngest daughter is eating a Healthy Choice chocolate bar, right? Yeah. 100 calories. Very nice treat to end the evening, right? It's a very nice chocolate bar.
Mm.
Her and my older daughter get into a fight, and my younger daughter whips that chocolate bar across the room.
Ugh.
Did you just like? Did you throw the stick? No, there was definitely still some
whole
ice
damn
cream
thing,
on
Dad.
This, right?
Yeah.
So against the white blinds, right? She proceeds to go get the chocolate bar because she missed, and then smashed it on my other daughter's shirt. So now my other daughter's got a chocolate stain on her shirt, and there's chocolate stains on the blind.
The eldest or the youngest did this?
Youngest.
Makes sense.
Yeah, probably.
Eldest was pushing buttons.
Well, it was kind of I started it, right? So I get home yesterday.
You started a controversy? Okay, yeah. Here we go.
And so there's a box of Chick-fil-A nuggets on the counter. There's three of them left, and I'm like, I think I'm going to eat these for lunch, right? Oh, no. They're not yours. Fine. Uh-huh. I said, all right. So a couple hours goes by. We have a nice piece of salmon for dinner. Delicious from the Hy-Vee. The chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A are still sitting there. They go, oh, Katie's going to have those when she gets home. I'm like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take those out and we're going to put like the frozen chicken nuggets in that box. Right.
You instigator.
And so my wife's like, all right, I like the idea. Let's put them in a bag, put them in the refrigerator. And when she gets home, she'll just have an empty box. I'm like, fine. So we do that. And of course she reacts exactly how we thought she was going to react, screaming, where are my chicken nuggets? These were mine, blah, blah, blah.
You don't mess with the kids' chicken nuggets.
No, you don't mess with the kids' That's anything. One thing. Right? One thing you don't mess with. So that is kind of what started the whole food fight that ended up taking place in our house yesterday. So this is funny enough that the food fight actually took place after I had sent you guys this story about like what would be the perfect items in a food fight if we were doing a food fight draft. I will tell you this. The Healthy Choice chocolate bar, not a good option. You don't have much control. There's not a lot of surface area. If you get a direct hit, it's probably going to skim off you anyway. It's not a great food to throw at somebody.
Yeah.
It's better eaten than thrown.
La Tomatina is the tomato fight.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is, yeah.
Bob started it. Guess the chocolate bar doesn't fall far from the tree from the 816. That's my girl.
That's right.
Number one, we're finding out how just evil the text line can be.
Yeah.
From the 913, in a food fight, I would throw a thermos full of soup.
No way. Whoa. You could hurt somebody with that.
The hell with hurting? You could kill somebody with that. Yeah. We're not trying to kill
you
people.
You hit somebody in the head with a thermos of soup. I mean, my God, what are you trying to do? Knock somebody out?
And then the text above it says lava cake.
Oh, that's a good one.
Nice. I mean, if it hits you in the face, I mean, second degree burns. You thought a chocolate bar was bad.
Yeah.
Lava cake. And then the one below it, spaghetti.
Spaghetti's a good one, too.
Solid.
Yeah. Great one.
Yeah. It's like the shotgun spray of food.
Right.
You're going to throw about a handful of noodles and some meat shavings. It's just gonna powder. It's just going to go everywhere.
Right.
You might get four or five people in that one.
Yeah.
Somebody said, True Green Thumb, Warm Eclair. I don't know what that is.
That's a good one.
It says explodes on contact.
Yeah.
And then again, these evil people. A can of corn.
Why?
I'm just malicious.
So are we doing the food fight draft here, Mac? All right. Well, who's picking first? Who's going second? Do we have food fight draft music that we can play? Is there a food fight draft music song or something? Does anybody come up with that or something like that?
I'll see if I can find something. We're going to start with Dusty, number one. Bob will be two. I'll be three.
All right.
Number one, food fight option, I'm going with shrimp.
Shrimp.
There's nothing more disrespectful.
You have the number one choice in shrimp. Food fight items, yep. And you're going with shrimp?
This is Greg Oden of number one picks.
Yep. It's disgusting. It smells at times. It sticks. And it's disrespectful to get hit in the face by shrimp. Here's music for you.
Let's begin now.
Shrimp.
That's right. I'm not messy. I don't like things in my fingernails. I'm not picking a ball of mashed potatoes, which one of you is going to take. Shrimp in your face. Right in your eye.
You're right. That is the Greg Oden of picks. Like that's like the Bubba Starling of selections.
Exactly.
That's the Breland Speaks.
It's the Bubba Gump.
I mean, that is a horrible selection, man.
Not my
shrimp.
Opinion. I can get eyeballs.
Shrimp.
I can get you the shrimp scampi.
Give me
little
your
cocktail.
Ultimate food fight item, and you're going shrimp.
Number one.
All right, that leaves me with tomatoes. Then at number two, I'm taking the tomatoes at number two.
The hell, Dusty. Come on, he got Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go mashed potatoes.
Okay.
I think it's a good one. You can launch it. I could even get like a spoon, bend it back, get some good velocity on that.
Right.
Grab it. Yep.
All right.
Sticks. Yeah, I like that.
Do we go reverse order? Now does Matt go first?
No, we'll go back
we'll go straight up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cupcake.
Okay.
Okay, that's better than your first overall to me.
All right. You're going to go cupcake. I'm going to see your cupcake, and I'm going to raise you the cream puff.
Mmm. Okay.
Because when that sucker explodes, there's cream everywhere.
Give me, like...
waiting for the last leaf to fall.
Like an old banana.
Old banana.
Soft, you know, mushy, okay. Ready for banana bread banana. Launching right. That sucker.
I just feel like I'm going to keep getting hated on this.
All right.
Bagel bites.
Bagel bites.
Hot out of the air fryer.
Yeah.
There's a little smear there from the fake tomato sauce.
Absolutely.
And a bagel could be hard. It's a good little weapon. Good little pea shooter.
A little bit of a trident type of thing.
I can spin those in anything.
Yeah. You're going to go bagel bites. I'm going to go meatballs and tomato sauce.
Tomato lord.
We're having a food fight, brother. We're not having a nice dinner.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that was another good one. Spaghetti was going to be mine, so that makes my pick here tough. I'm going to go... Let's do... I don't know how I'd throw it. I have to find somebody to get to launch it, but hot sauce.
You just do like Taco Bell packages.
Yeah.
Hot sauce. Could, like, somebody trying to figure out my next pick, saying it might as well pick scallops to go with this shrimp.
I mean, have you ever been in a food fight, either of you? You're going old banana, hot sauce. The mashed potatoes one is fine. How are you launching hot sauce at somebody?
Yeah, I gotta get like a water gun to a food fight, fill it with hot sauce.
Oh my god.
Old banana's good. Come on.
Last pick.
All right.
Chili dog. You ever been disrespectful with getting hit in the face with a wiener?
No.
Loaded with chili?
Mm-mm.
Don't come to my food fight.
All right.
Because you're gonna get a shrimp to the eye, and then you're gonna get finished off with a chili dog to the face.
Okay. I'm gonna go with blueberry pies.
Mmm.
Nice.
You ever seen somebody like a hibachi grill try to catch a shrimp and it hits him in the eye? And it's just the most disrespectful thing in the world.
Gary all the time tries that. Yeah.
Gary.
All right, one more time. Gary, you've missed six in a row.
I'll do a hard-boiled egg.
That's what my dad said.
A hard-boiled egg?
You're going to love that, Bob.
That's like, why wouldn't you use the raw egg?
That's more messier, yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't really
hurt. It's a food fight.
Raw egg is kind of messy, though. Egg. Get that fart smell on your face.
Yeah, it smells.
Like Animal House. Try and guess what I am now.
Yeah,
My dad sent me that text. Really goes, hard-boiled egg. Try and guess what I am now. I'm a zit. Get it?
So when he's going through the line and getting all the food, right? My grandmother said to me one time, she goes, that looks like you.
Oh.
I was
my
like,
buddy
thanks.
Just texted me. He said, anybody going to say bowl of soup? Left off the table.
The problem is the action, unless it's like in a styrofoam bowl or a paper bowl where the bowl's not going to shatter. I don't want to hurt somebody. I'm trying to get a lot of food on them. But a bowl of soup could be good, but it could also burn your face.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the point. Hot pot of coffee.
Yeah. Bean burrito coming in from the 816. Oh. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That is a really good one.
The old bean burrito?
Yeah. Because that thing's going to explode.
That used to be the order at Taco Bell all the time. Bean burrito, no onion. 913-586-7610. What's in your arsenal for a food fight if you had one? I like shrimp. I think it's a good one. Throw you in the face with a coconut shrimp. Let me know how your ego is after that.
Coconut shrimp?
Underrated. Kirkland shrimp from Costco. Fantastic.
Properly fried. Rated the coconut shrimp. I'm out of that business.
Oh, man.
I told you I had a coconut incident in January of 14.
No one said coconut in a food fight. Now you're just throwing people.
Somebody texted in coconuts. You throw a coconut at somebody and knock them out.
Might as well have said papaya. Grapefruit. Yeah. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Leggett's coming back on the other side. Those Royals, baby. They might have you here. This is Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show. show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.